Fear and pride always go in hand in hand. Fear and pride. We see this in our readings this morning. So we hear the story of Jesus going to a city, and the apostles are following behind him, and they're arguing along the way. They're talking about something. And Jesus asks them point blank, "What were you talking about? What were you arguing about all that time? What was so interesting that you left me out of?" And the scriptures say that they were too afraid to question him. They were too afraid to question him about what he meant about dying, but also they were afraid to say anything when he asked them point blank, "What were you talking about?" Fear and pride. Fear and pride go together. So they're afraid to question him about what it means to die and rise again, because that's what he says first. And then they're too afraid to say anything when he asks them, like, "What were you talking about?" Of course, what they were talking about is who was the greatest, who was the best. Pride is rooted in the fear that someone else will be best, that someone else will get the credit, that someone else will be appreciated, that someone else will be considered more important. Fear enables pride to take root in our hearts. Without the exhausting grip of fear, pride is powerless. Pride is always on the defensive. Pride is always combative. It's always argumentative. It's always afraid that someone else is going to dethrone it. One of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis, he writes this: "Pride is essentially competitive. Pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man." We say that people are proud of being rich or clever or good looking, but they are not. They are proud of being richer or cleverer or better looking than others. If everyone else became equally rich or clever or good looking, there would be nothing to be proud about. It is the comparison that makes you proud, the pleasure of being above the rest. I find it very interesting that today's gospel passage comes hot on the heels of a massive failure by the apostles, because we heard the reading from yesterday about how they can't drive out a spirit. They can't drive out the mute spirit. And they're like, "Jesus, why couldn't we do that?" And he says, "Because this one can only be driven out by prayer." So right after they are unable to do what they wanted to do, they're so busy about wondering who's the best. And isn't that true about ourselves, too? Like, right after we fail, when we feel the most threatened, when we feel weak and exposed, we're even more likely to defend ourselves, to puff ourselves up, to make ourselves feel important, to prove our rank to those around us, to make sure that we haven't lost our space, that we haven't lost our place in all of it. We're so defensive. We're so afraid to miss out. We're so afraid to lose our spot. And I think that's why James was so pretty harsh to the people that he was writing to. He says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." He's quoting the Proverbs. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud because the proud have distanced themselves from God. They've distanced themselves from the fearless self-gift of the love of God. Like, God's love is not combative. It's not threatened. It's not insecure in any way. So to be humble means to enter into that defenselessness, to enter into the hands of God knowing that we can cast all our cares on him, because his love is perfect, because he doesn't really expect us to prove anything to him. He knows that we're weak. He knows that we're completely dependent on him. We don't need to worry about getting ours. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to find out who's the greatest. We don't have to run the rat race of fighting off our competition. There is no competition. We're all loved by God, and that's enough. And I think Jesus exemplifies this kind of fearless love, this fearless love. Jesus is not afraid because he is truly and simply humble. And what is humility? Humility is just knowing who you are. It's knowing who you are and who you belong to. So Jesus makes himself defenseless before the powers of evil. He talks about that. He says, "I will be given over to the hands of men. They will kill me, but I will rise." He knows what's going to happen. He knows who he is. He knows who he belongs to. So he's able to be defenseless. He's able to just not feel insecure in any way and just open himself up to evil because it spends itself on him, and then he disarms it. He is not proud and he's not competitive because he's known by the Father, he knows that he's loved. And that's enough. That's always enough. So that's why he can say something so crazy as, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. It's interesting. None of us is going to out-humble Jesus. So, like, he is the humble one. He is the one who is the first, and so he is last. He is always the most humble. If we had to claw our way up to the top, if we had to bamboozle our way into the best position so that God would love us, then becoming last of all and servant of all would be ridiculous. But perfect love casts out fear. Fear and pride go hand in hand. Perhaps that's why the Litany of Humility prays over and over again that Jesus would deliver us from our fears. I wasn't planning on preaching this morning, but I switched on the Litany of Humility as I drove over to the church this morning, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, because over and over it says, from the fear of being humiliated, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being calumniated, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being forgotten, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being wronged, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being suspected, deliver me, Jesus. So the apostles, their prayer should have been, from the fear of not being the best, from the fear of not being the greatest, deliver me, Jesus.